The following shiur has been presented by Dayan Yohannesen David Hul, Dayan for the Beis Avad in Yerushalayim, and is brought to you by the Beis Avad Halacha Center. For Hetre Iska, loans and collections, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Maseches Ksuvos Daf Samuch Vav. Today we're going to discuss the topic of Maase Yodayim Shelo Isha. That is to say, a married woman, if she works and she earns money, who gets the money? Does she keep it or does it go to her husband? So the Mishnah in Ksuvos Daf Nun Tesamut Beis discusses the various melochas that a woman is expected to do. A married woman, she has to be teichenes, for eifer, mechabeses, mevasheles, menikes, benor, and so on and so forth. One of the things she's expected to do, apart from looking after the household needs, is v'oisa betzema. She's expected to make wool products, to work with wool, and to make some type of income from that, which goes, say Chazal, to the husband. The reason for this is because Chazal were concerned for the financial welfare of every married woman. So they made a takono that any money that the woman earns from the work that she does with the wool should go to her husband. Why is this? Because the primary chiyuv, the primary obligation is on the husband, that he has to provide mazonos for his wife. Mazonos literally means food, but we'll use it in this shiur, the term mazonos, to include ksus, include clothing and moder and housing. Every husband is mechuyav hapi halacha to provide for his wife for all her basic financial needs, which means food, it means clothing, it means housing, it means anything else that any person of that financial situation requires. This is an obligation on every married man. In exchange for that, Chazal said that once the wife has finished off all the various housework duties that are required, she's also required to work. In the case of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says that Issa Batsema to work with wool and produce a certain amount of wool per week. The income from that goes to the husband. This is in exchange for the fact that the husband is providing for her for all her needs. Since the takon is in the best interest of the woman, she's allowed to opt out of this agreement, and she can say, Eini nizonis, eini oisa, which means to say, she can say, I don't mind looking after myself, I'm not going to ask my husband for any financial provisions, and then any work, any income that I get will come to me, won't go to my husband. So she can always say that if she wants, but she doesn't have to. The husband can't opt out of this arrangement without the agreement of his wife, and therefore the husband has to provide for his wife. The wife, if she has any income, gives it to the husband. That's the default position according to the Mishnah and according to the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch. Now, our sugi discusses the inyan of ha'adof al-etei hadchak. If a woman makes more than the expected amount of wool, she's nonetheless got to give the income to her husband. But what happens if she pushes herself and works outside the normal hours? She stays up at night to work and produce more wool. Does that go to her husband as well, or can she keep that? It's actually a machlokes tanoim. As Gemara says, machlokes of Akiva and Rabbanan, and Akiva says she can keep the income for ha'adofa al-idei hadchak, whereas Rabbanan says that all such income goes to the husband, just like any regular income. The Gemara then goes on to ask the question, what happens if she does two melochas at the same time, or three or four melochas at the same time? Rashi explains, how can she do three or four melachos at the same time? She marries kishuim, for example, she says she can guard a vegetable patch, make sure no one takes anything. The top of a pishton, I work together with flax, spinning flax, or melamedes shir anoshim, at the same time teaching singing lessons to other women for a price. Mechamonis beitzim in mecheiko, and at the same time warming up in halap, eggs, or beitzim to loimos in meshu, or silkworm eggs. She can do three or four things possibly at the same time. If she makes extra money as a result of that, the Gemara has to shine it. That's called Hadofa Ledei Hadchak or not. And the Gemara ends up Teiku. The Gemara doesn't have a clear answer for this. The Rosh and the Tor bring down a Machlokes Rishonim, whether we paskin like Rabbi Akiva or we paskin like the Rabbanon. Machlokes Rabbeinu Chananan and Rabbi Haigel. The Rosh is not machriya, does not decide that in this machlokes, and nor does the Torah. The Torah implies that the halacha is that hadofa l'dei adchak is a machlokes, not only in Tanoim, but a machlokes v'shenim ha'wi paskin, halacha l'maisa. Therefore, one would expect that in the case of machlokes, we would say amotzi mechaveiro al haraya, and the wife can keep the money from hadofa l'dei adchak. The Shulchan Aruch does not pass on that then, he passes like the Rambam, who seems to pass on like the Rabbanon, that even Adolf Adelka goes to the husband. Says the Bach, however, that since it's a machlokes we're showing him how to pass on whether he passes on that Rekiva or not, the minig is that we don't take away from the woman any money that she makes on Adolf Adelka. This is quoted also by the Chokas Mechokik and the Beis Shmuel, the two classic commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezer, and by the Haflora, and later Poskim as well. The Chazanish was not happy with this. The Chazanish says that it's possible that was the minig in Krakow, where the Bach lived, but our minig is to follow the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramor. And since the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Ramor does not dissent, that even Adolf HaLeder Chak goes to the husband, that would be the Haloch, and that's how we would follow. However, contemporary Poskim today do not agree with the Chazanish, and they say, although the Shulchan Aruch says that, nonetheless, since there is the Bach, the Cham, the Bash, the Haflor, and various other Poskim, all say not like that, surely one can say kimli like these opinions, and the wife can keep any proceeds she makes from Adolf HaLeder Chak. Comes along the Beis Meir, and a very big Kiddush. The Beis Meir says, it's Medai from the Rambam, that a woman is only expected up Yalocha to do the various household chores that were mentioned earlier, and the Oysa Betzema. She's expected to bring an income from working with wool. In the times of Chazal, working with wool was a standard job that women did. The Pasuk says, Kol ishochach masleif b'yodei hotov. What about, though, if the woman does other work which is not working with wool? For example, nowadays, she works in an office. She works as an accountant, she works in computers, she teaches, any of the jobs that people do nowadays, which are not mentioned in the Mishnah or the Gemara, and that is an obligation for the wife to do. But on the other hand, she's not working with the wool, which she's supposed to do. Is she obliged to work, to do these types of work or not? So the base measurement died from the Rambam, not like that, because the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Rambam, says that if it's not the minig of the local women where she lives to do these malochas, then he can't force her to do any work at all. Now, when we say any work at all, there is an exception, we'll come back to that in a moment. But at any rate, he said under normal circumstances, he can't force her to do it, he can't expect her to do any malocha other than the ones mentioned in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. Therefore, says the Beis Meir, it would appear that any other job that she does, the husband cannot request and require her to do it. In fact, there is a Tosefta, which is much more the same thing as well, and which is the Makor, presumably of the Rambam, and there's a Tshuvas HaRashba. The Tshuvas HaRashba is mentioned, quoted by the Beis Yosef in Simud Tzadik Hei in Eben Ezer. There the Rashba says that the woman, a married woman, is not owned by a husband, certainly, and she's not even employed by a husband. When we say that her masi or deho, her income, goes to her husband, it's not that she's employed by a husband. An employee, you can change him from one job to the other. You've got an employee for the day. Once he's finished this job, you can ask him to do a different job. He wants to get paid for the whole day's work. Whereas a married woman, she's not an employee of the husband. Chazal on the second, that certain income that she produces goes to the husband. But he can't ask her to do different work. So this is the Rashba. And therefore, says the Beis Meir, based on this lotion of the Mechab and the Rambam and the Rashba, I would say that it's clear that you cannot, a husband nowadays, cannot request and require of his wife to go out and do work other than that which states in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah talks about household duties and talks about working with wool. The contemporary poskim point out that even to work with wool, a woman doesn't have to do nowadays. And this is the point that I mentioned earlier. Even though the Mishnah of Shulchan Aruch says that if it's not the custom of women to work in the place where this white woman lives, she doesn't have to work, he says that there is one exception, she has to do a certain amount of work with wool. What does this mean? This is a new halacha. Chazal said that even though a woman who has servants, or the husband who has servants, or has a financial wherewithal to pay for domestic help, in such a situation the wife is not expected to do all the housework that's required of her. Nonetheless, if she's got nothing to do all day, then she's expected to work to a certain amount of work with wool. Not the work with wool that we were discussing earlier, where she's expected to bring a fixed amount of income, but just a small amount of work, just to ensure that she's not sitting around doing nothing. Because idleness, says Chazal, breeds boredom, and boredom can lead to zimok, can lead to immorality. And therefore, a husband can expect his wife, if she's got nothing else to do on her hands, to do a small amount of work with wool. Say that Potsdam nowadays, since nowadays most women do not work with wool, a husband cannot expect his wife to do even that. And therefore, in addition to the fact that virtually all women nowadays, even if they do have domestic help, still have certain household duties which keep them busy enough that they'll never be completely bored. And therefore, any woman nowadays who works in the house, cleaning and cooking and doing the various different other household chores, is not expected to work with the wool, because we're not conscious nowadays that she's going to be completely bored, unless she's not. So it's sucked in from the Rabbanut, or Rabbi Yashiv Ziyafesin, or Jomtir, or others who say nowadays, Hayyim, in Isham Uchayevus, the Tapeb, or Malachas Rabbah, Shuv Nir, Posh, Shiyashu, Lichvus, or Lea, Avodas, Satsem. Okay. So now, if we take on this Chiddush of the Beis Meir, and a number of poskim seem to take it on as a double poshut, that nowadays a man cannot expect of his wife to go out and work in any type of job other than those mentioned in the Mishnah, and yet he has to still provide for her financially, and he has his halachic duty to provide for her for all her financial needs, what happens if she does go out to work on her own accord? She decides to make money. She goes to work as an accountant or as a secretary, in computers, in teaching, in anything like that. Who gets the money? She doesn't have to work doing these jobs, but if she does the money go to her husband, or can she keep it for herself? So this is quite a big topic, and there's a number of contemporary poskim who discussed it, and they bring various different sources to point to a solution to this question. We're going to mention some of the sources very briefly, and then we'll come out at the end of Minhag Hashem to a brief summary of what the contemporary poskim say about this. The first possible makor for this is this situation of the woman who, in the times of Chazal, didn't have to do any work in the house because the husband was of a financial wherewithal that he could provide for domestic help, and therefore she was only required to do a small amount of work with wool, with tzemer, in order to avoid zimo. In that case, does she get to keep the money or not? Well, that's a machlokes v'shemim. The Ran brings a yeshem and says she can keep it for herself. The Beis Yaakov of the Nesivos and Simon Pei, and the Chazon Ish and Ebenezer, Simon Kuf, Talat Sikot, Yud Beis, both say a similar idea behind it. The reason is, they say, that it's not part of the financial arrangements of Chazal. Chazal said a man has to provide financially for his wife, and a woman, in exchange, has to provide certain amounts of work, of duties, to her husband. When it comes to this, though, the idea of working with Temula to avoid Zimo, that has nothing to do with any financial arrangement. That's just to make sure that she isn't bored. And if that's the case, and we can force her to do that, there's no reason why the husband should be able to keep the money, and she keep the money herself. So this is the Ram Meshev Yeshem, and the Ram himself quotes the Rashba saying not like that. The Rashba says that this work which he does to avoid boredom, that is like Ha'adof al-Edei Ad-Chak. The Rashba himself happens to hold Ha'adof al-Edei Ad-Chak by the Rabbonim against the husband. We mentioned earlier Halacha Lemaisa that it's going to be a Sofik and the wife could keep it. But the Rashba happens to hold Ha'adof al-Edei Ad-Chak goes to the husband, and so too in this case. The Ritva says that even if we were to hold Ha'adof al-Edei Ad-Chak goes to the husband at the Rabbonim, nonetheless, that's only because Adof al Dechak is an extension of the regular Malachos she does. She works with wool for a certain amount a day. If she works at night as well, which she's not required to do, the Rabbanon hold it still goes to the husband. But when she works with wool purely to avoid boredom, that's nothing to do with the Takuna Masi Adayim, and therefore she can keep it to herself. So possibly we can extrapolate from that case there. That case is talking about something she is mechuyev to do, but she's only mechuyev to do it to avoid coming to boredom. In that case, there are those who say she can keep it for herself. Possibly, we can extrapolate to our shaila, where the woman's not mechuyev at all to work as a teacher or to work as an accountant. If she does, maybe again she can keep it for herself. However, there are those who quote a rival Rashi and Al-Sugya. Let's go back to our sugya. Our sugya says, what happens if a woman does two melachos at the same time, or three, or four? Is it called hadzofa le'deach chak, which according to Rabbi Kiva she can keep, or is it called regular ma'aseh diamond goes to the husband? The examples Rashi gives are melachos which are not mentioned in the Mishnah and the Chazal. Teaching women to sing and looking after a vegetable patch are not melachos which a woman is chayav to do. And yet it would seem that the shaila of the Gemara is, if she does all of them at the same time, is she allowed to keep the money and the income which comes from it? Implying that if she did them one after the other separately, then for sure she would have to give it to her husband. The only shaila is, if she does it at the same time, is it called hadafa le'deach chak, can she keep it for herself or not? If that's the case, according to Rashi, it would come out from a Furusha Gemara that a woman who does any malacha, even if it's not the malachas that were done and are registered in the Mishnah, will nonetheless have to give the income to her husband as long as she's been supported by him, unless of course she opts out and says, "I'm not going to answer." Or alternatively, unless it's hadofa le'deach chak, which is three or four at the same time, or she does it outside hours late at night. Then she would be able to keep it. But otherwise, Rashi implies that Mefurish Gemara that she would have to give it to her husband. Interestingly enough, in the Sefer HaOros, which is a transcript of Rabbi Yashiv's Shiurim on Maseches Ksuvos, on this very Rashi, Rabbi Yashiv is quoted as saying exactly the opposite. He's quoted as saying that although the Gemara asks, what about three or four malachas at the same time, it's lav dafka three or four at the same time. It's who are doing that any of these malachas, which are not mentioned in the Gemara, but are mentioned in Rashi, is that the type of thing which is included in the Hadofa le'deach chak or not? And that is good for the shayla of the Gemara, and therefore, since it's a taker, the wife will be able to keep it. So it's quoted in Rabbi Yashiv. It's a little bit dochel, doesn't the chayra fit so well in the Lashon of the Gemara. But certainly the pashtus of the Gemara is the opposite. And only if there's three or four things done at the same time is there a shayla. But if any of these malachas were done on an individual basis, the chariot, the stom of the Gemara's mashmah would certainly go to the husband. Rabbeinu Yeruchim in Meishar Masif Kaf Gimel Chelik Hei Perik Vav says Mufurish that any word that a woman does goes to her husband. He says V'chein Adin B'chol Mashim Arvachas Be'eze Inyin Sheyiye. So Rabbeinu Yeruchim sees clearly that it goes to the husband. Indeed, the Marsham points out that there's a Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch in Choshen Mishpat, not in Eben Ezra, in Siman Reish Ayin, which is talking about Mutziah, someone who finds a Mutziah and can keep it, if it's a child who's still living at home, if he finds a Mutziah, he has to give it to his father. The Shulchan Aruch adds in Mutziah's Ishtay Hari Eli Shalom, as our Mishnah says, that a woman who finds a Mutziah also has to give it to her husband. Adds in the Ramah, V'hu Adinim Yuvichu B'schoira Oida Melochos. So too, if they, referring to the son or the Eved, or the Bita, Anara, or the Isha, Lechera, all those mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch there, the Ramah says all of those, if they make any money with Schera, which means with some type of commerce, buying and selling, a Malacha or any work, it goes to the husband. So it certainly seems to imply, first from that Ramah, that Schera is not mentioned as one of the Malachas that a woman's hired to do in our Gemara, and there was much more than any Malacha the woman does, the income goes to her husband. The Aruch HaShulchan there seems to understand the Ramah differently, and according to him there would be no right from the Ramah. Well, certainly the simple reading of the Ramah seems to say that. Beis Yosef ben Emunah Ezra Simon Kuf Samach quotes a Rosh in Tshuvos Klal Nun Simon Dalet. The Rosh there is talking about a Yochum. By Yochum also the same arrangement applies as to a husband, that he has to provide for her and the Masiyah Daim go to her. There, without going into the details of the context there, the Lashon of the Rosh is B'chol Ma'asher Taviach Bein B'malocha U'v'sarosarus U'v'chol Dovah. Ma'asi Odeh goes to Yovom, and Ma'asi Odeh includes anything which he makes any money from, whether it's work, whether it's agency fees, or anything else. So again, the Rosh, and the quoted by Rosh, certainly seems to say that even if she's not required to do these jobs, if she does, it goes to the husband. In the case of an almona, we find a similar arrangement, slightly different. An almona, a widow, is entitled to live off her husband's estate until the funds run out or until she gets remarried. Again, to provide security for a married woman, Chazal instituted that if the man dies, the almona, the widow, continues to live in the manner to which she has been accustomed on the cheshbon of the estate of the husband. There, the Torah in Siman Tzadik Hei discusses what would be if the Almona did Masiyah Daim, which she's not expected to do, but above and beyond the jobs which the Chazal list. There, the Rashbam says she would have to give it to the Yerushim. to the heirs who now own the estate because they're providing the mezonos. However, the Rava says she can keep it for herself because she's not mechuyev to do this work. So that lechuyev would imply, and here we have the first mekor, that lechuyev would imply that if we find by our mona that she's allowed to keep for herself any work which she does, which she's not required to do, that the same thing would apply to an ishus ish, to a married woman. And indeed, the basis of there in Tumatadik Hay brings a Chumath or Rashba who compares and contrasts one to the other. And it says, just like we find that an Ashish Ish is actually the Rashba which you mentioned earlier, just like we find that an Ashish Ish is not Mukhuyev as a, is not Mushubah to a husband like a servant or even like an employee. It's just that certain Malachas she's required to do and bring the money to her husband. But if she does any other Malachas, says the Rashba, then Almona is allowed to keep it for herself. Now the Rashba switches between Almona and Ashish Ish. It's true the Rashba doesn't say Mufurish that an Ashish Ish can also keep it, but he compares the two and certainly implies that just like we find that an Almona can keep a Masya Daim which she does above and beyond what she's expected to do, so too that would apply by Ashish Ish. There are those who bring a Knesset HaGedola in Siman Ayin in Evan Esen Hagosa Tul Sukkot Nyud, who quotes the Radvaz is in Chelik Dan Siman Kuftadik, as saying that Prakamacha and Schoira are also become Masi or Derpa, which would imply that it goes to the husband. The Marasham in Chelik Dalad Siman Tadik Base quotes someone else as quoting this Radvaz as well. However, if you look inside the Radvaz, it's not so clear at all that that's what he means. The Radvaz is talking about a man who, before he got married, agreed that he would not have any benefit from his wife's Masi or Daim. He wouldn't even reap the payers of Masi or Daim. Most things that a woman owns, a woman inherits from her parents, for example, some property, then it belongs to her, but it's defined by Chazal as Nichsei Melug, which means that any income generated from it goes to the husband as long as they're married. But the guf, the principle, belongs to her. A husband who declared before he gets married that he's willing to accept upon himself that he won't have any pay or snichs in miluk, it works. And then the Radval says, and therefore he won't have anything from a masi or daim if he says he's not going to take, if he says I'm not going to see his masalik himself from a masi or daim, then he wouldn't get that either, he wouldn't get any payers from it. And on that, the Radval says he wouldn't get anything, whatever the masi or daim was, whether it was a pakamacha, whether it was sferia, whether any type of malocha. So when the Radval talks about a husband not getting, he says he doesn't get anything, including all of these things. But in the case where a husband hadn't been masalik before the wedding, and does have a right to get the Masi Daim, it's not so clear that a Ravaz would expect a husband to get Masi Daim even from Sferi and Parakamatia. Akhubon, there's a Marit, a very famous Marit in Chelik Beis in Chesh Mishpat Simet Samach Zayin. The Marit has a shal about a woman who does all the income, brings in all the income to the household. She's a wealthy woman, and she's involved in international commerce, and she actually supports her husband. Does her Masi Adayim go to the husband because she's not actually getting mezonos from the husband? Or do we still say no, the husband is expected to provide for her, as long as she's not asking for it, he doesn't have to, but still the other half of the agreement applies and she has to give her income to her husband. But obviously, as we said, she can at any stage opt out and say, Eini nizonis v'eini oisa. But if he doesn't say that, says the Marit, I have a sophic, if it's as if she said it, because clearly she's the only one bringing in any money here, or does she have to specifically say it? That's a sophic of the Marit, but it does seem, given the Marit, that the default position is that it goes to the husband, until she says it, or unless it's considered as if she's opted out. Again, we're talking about international commerce, we're not talking about working with wool, and nonetheless, the Marit takes on kadavah poshut that in the normal circumstances doesn't go to the husband. The Mishnah Melech and Perikaf Aleph of Ishus quotes this Marit. He queries it. He says, as we mentioned earlier, by Almona we find clearly the Machlokes Rashbam and the Ravid. The Ravid says that she can keep it, extra work which she does, which is not mentioned in the Mishnah. We would expect the same thing to apply to Ashish Ish. So the Mishnah Melech, possibly Ashish Ish would be different. It would only apply to Almona. Maybe Ashish Ish would be different. But anyway, the Marit certainly seems to understand Kedav HaPoshet that it goes to the husband. So, to summarize, certainly the most Rishonim seem to say that it does, in fact, these extra work, which a woman's not required to do nowadays, such as if we're taking on the base Meir's halacha, Chiddush to be the halacha, any work that a woman does outside the house, or even inside the house, if it's not housework, it's not working with wool. A husband can't expect her to do it, even though he has to provide her with a mezonos. Nonetheless, If she does do it, according to many poskim, the income would go to the husband as long as she doesn't opt out. Rashi in our sugya implies like that. The Rosh, as we mentioned earlier, in the Tshuvas, regarding the Yovam, Abayna Yeruchim, the first seems to say like that. The Rashbam certainly seems to say that about Almona, and very possibly would hold the same thing about Ishish, and the Maharit certainly seems to take it on as a Dover Poshet. And Kitshuta, it's a Mefurisha Ramah in Cheshi Mishmasim and Reish Ayin by the Metzia there. We do have a possible time to say, not like that, we have the Ram B'Shem Yesh Omrim in the case of the woman who's doing Avodah B'Tzema purely to avoid boredom, where there is a suggestion that according to the Yesh Omrim in the Ram and according to the Ritual, it would go to the herself, she'd be able to keep it herself. And there's the Ravid in the case of Almona who says in the first that she can keep it for herself. But it's again debatable whether the Ravid would say the same thing by Anashis Ish. In the contemporary poskim, we have two different Piskei Didim of the Rabbanut who actually seem to say different things and come to different conclusions. In one Psaktin, with Rav Rosenthal was the Afbeisdin, and Rav Baruch Rakover and Rav Ezra Hadaya were the other two Tayonim, they paskened, quoting some of the sources we mentioned earlier, that the consensus of poskim seems to be that any work the woman does to nowadays, even if it's not required by the Mishnah, nonetheless the income goes to the husband and long speech she's been supported by him. However, in a different psakdin of the Rabbanut, this time Rav Goldschmidt and Rav Karelitz and Rav Bavliki were the Dayanim, they come to the opposite conclusion, and they say, although there are many Rishonim who certainly seem to say that such malacha would go to the husband, nonetheless there's enough of a mokum to say, there's enough sources to say that she can keep it for herself, and therefore our kopunim, even if it's a machlokus, since she has the money, she'd be able to keep it for herself, and the husband would have to prove that the offer is not like that, and say, I'm lifting the chaber al-varai. So we in fact have two contradictory Christian dinim on this very subject as to halacha l'maaseh, what one does. It should be pointed out that everyone agrees that Hadofa Ledeat Chak, the woman certainly can keep. And as we pointed out earlier, the Bach says the meaning is that since the Machlek is showing them whether Hadofa Ledeat Chak goes to the wife, or also goes to the husband, and therefore Halacha L'maaseh, the wife can keep it for herself. So all poskim nowadays seem to agree to that as well, apart from possibly the Chazon Ish. Everyone would agree that Hadofa Ledeat Chak. So any time when a woman does more than one job at the same time, or alternatively she works at night, exerts herself more than a regular job at all, then she would certainly be allowed to keep it. But when we come to the subject of regular work, if it's not available, but somehow that seems to be a machlokas in the contemporary poskim. It's important to note that there could be a two-edged sword here when it comes to the halachas of Kimli. If the woman wants to keep her income, machmas asafik, as a machlokas of poskim, and she can say, prove to me the halacha is not like the one who says I can keep it, then conversely the husband in theory can turn around and say the same thing and say, okay, I can't take away the income from you, but on the other hand I don't have to provide you with mazonas if it's true that the income belongs to me, and I hold that the income should really belong to me, and therefore Kozman, you don't give me the income, I don't have to provide you with mazonas. I can also say, Kimli, now I'm the mukhsati, you're the almighty, because you want to get mazonas from me. So it might actually work both ways. It might be a very interesting situation out of the Meisah. But anyway, we're not discussing now a general psak din. Obviously circumstances may dictate what the halacha would be. In one final point, it's worth mentioning that from Moshe Sternbuch in Tshuvas van August in Chelik Gimel, Siman Tov Yud Zayin, adds another possibility. If it was agreed between the husband and wife before they got married, that the arrangement would be that the husband, for example, would sit in Kodal and learn, and the wife would bring in all the income, then it's very possible that since they agreed with the outset that was going to be the arrangement, then clearly the Masi and Daim do go to the husband. It's not that the wife went off by herself and agreed to worked for something she wasn't required to do. The husband was supposed to work and provide for himself and for his wife, and instead that they decided to swap roles. In that case it's very possible that unless the wife specifically said then indeed the Masi Adayim would go to the husband. So again, just to summarize, Hadofa Ledeat Chak, which is our Sugya's Machlokes of Kiva Rabbona, and it's Machlokes Rabbeinu Chanan and Rabbi Haigon, how we paskin, and therefore Hadofa Ledeat, the Bach and many other poskim say that the woman can say Kimli and she can keep any Hadofa Ledeat Chak for herself. Any other job which is not mentioned in the malachas of the household chores and is not mentioned by in the Mishnah and the Gemara, According to the Beis Meir, and many poskim seem to adopt this chiddush of the Beis Meir, nowadays a husband cannot expect his wife to do that and can't require his wife to do these jobs. If she does go and earn money with this, it seems to me my claim was a contemporary poskim, whether this money she keeps for herself or whether she goes to the husband. Even if she does keep it for herself, the Beis Shmuel points out that this money, which would be like nechsi milu, which we mentioned earlier, would mean that she would be able to keep the principal, but any income generated from this money would go to the husband. So if with this money she bought a property, for example, and rented it out, the husband would be able to keep the rent, although the property would belong to her. So says the Beis Shmuel, and he quotes the Tosfos as saying so. However, again comes the Beis Meir and says there's actually two opinions in the Tosfos, but Rosh seems to say not like that, and according to some opinions she can keep it entirely to herself, and she does it's not even nechsi milu, she wouldn't have to share it at all with the husband. And if that's the case, then once the woman has earned the money, again she could say, I'm the muksik, clearly the halakha is like the Beis Meir, and she'd be able to keep the money for herself and not even provide the payers to her husband.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.